Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including in Tuca, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati on something we call a re-entry Monday. It means we've been parts unknown for the last couple days, so we get ourselves reacquainted to everything that happened over the weekend. Anthony, how are you?
Good, you?
Fresh as lettuce, thank you so much. We have Big Jim Murray in our update studio, Stuart and Lanny, and Matt in Framingham behind the glass, a fully loaded program. Why are you smirking already?
No, speaking of precious lettuce, you got a nice little growth of broccoli
Yes, we're letting it go. We're letting it go, man.
You look like the freaking Bee Gees over there.
I told you. The wood said to me, I don't know, a couple months ago, you have hair. Why don't you grow it? You're one of the few men your age who actually have it.
Staying alive. Staying alive.
Yeah, it's insulting to us balds of the world. You have hair. Let it go out.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Well, that just proves once again that I'll just do whatever she says. I just, whatever the wood says, I do. She says, grow your hair. I grow my hair. So, whatever. There's another 30 seconds on my hair.
The wood could dress you better.
Yeah, there's no question. No question. All right. So, anyway, I think we start football, Maz. We can talk about whatever you want over the weekend. Again, that's what we do on Reentry Monday. And, Jimmy, I'm in here early and logged in, so you may release the hounds immediately at 617-779-0985. But Maz was off on Friday, so we haven't talked to you about, well, the game Thursday night. We haven't talked about Brady's back injury. That wasn't out at the time. We haven't talked to you about the contract details of Brady's extension. It was...
You're listening to Felger.
Released on Thursday, but not the details. The details we found out on Friday. And so I think the most important question there is there a tell there? Is there an indication of Brady's future and his plans, as we've come to know pretty much every detail now in that, and I keep saying extension, in that restructure of his contract? Why don't we start there? What are your thoughts there?
Sure. So, to me, Brady's contract is the most important thing going on with that team at the moment. And I would tell you that I don't think there's any real tell there. I know that Ben Volen thinks there is, Ben Volen of the Globe. And he wrote as much over the weekend that the fact that the Patriots are going to have now a bigger hit in 2019 of dead cap money if Brady ends up retiring or whatever happens. Like, I don't see it. I don't see the connection. It feels to me like all they've done is buy themselves time for a year. That's what it feels like. And nothing more than that. If Brady wants to retire in a year, the Patriots can take the dead money hit. They're not going to be paying any other quarterbacks. It's not like they get Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster.
Exactly.
That they're paying, you know, $20 million on top of it, and now they have $32 million in cap money tied up in quarterbacks.
$12 million, and that would be Brady's dead money if he retires after the year. Because again, if you're just hearing this, they converted his base salary into signing bonus, which allows them, when anything's guaranteed, it's then prorated. The cap hit is prorated and spread over the life of the deal. So $5 million in cap money has been added to the last year of his deal next year. And if he up and retires, that's $5 million more for a dead money hit. If he up and retires after this year, his dead money hit is $12 million. That's high. Ben says it's the highest they've ever carried, and I'll take his word for it. I just know they've carried big dead cap numbers in the past.
Highest they've ever carried for one player.
Right, highest for one player. But there have been years where they've had tens of millions of dollars in dead cap money. And one of them might have been recent, when they might have had Aaron Hernandez and Darrell Revis and a couple guys on at one time. And it was well north of $10 million in dead money, from what I remember. And that's back when the cap was, I don't know, X. Now the cap is Y. The cap has grown 20, 30 million in the last couple of years. So just having that one $12 million dead money charge on Brady precludes nothing. I'm sorry. It precludes nothing.
Well, and the other thing is, again, if you go back and do just the math of it, without this restructure, the dead cap number on Brady would have been 7. Now it's 12.
Big deal.
So that extra $5 million says he's coming back?
Means nothing.
I mean, like, I just don't look at it that way. I don't say that puts it over the top. That extra $5 million against the cap is what says, well, he's coming back for sure. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second.
I feel worse about his future going into the thing than I did before.
No, I think they're going year to year. I think, like, that's what they're telling you.
Before I found out the details, I thought, before they announced the restructure, I thought, okay, we're getting at least 2. But when the restructure comes, I'll feel pretty good about Brady for 3. And I didn't get that. Not only did I not get that, after I found out the details of the restructure, I feel now like I'm down to one and they're going to reassess. If they were fully confident in Brady for at least the next 2 years, this would have been a two-year package at least, and probably a third year to spread out whatever. Again, if dead money is really a big issue to you, then you add on that third year, and they do it now to give them the biggest runway and the most wriggle room to futz with all those numbers. So now it's harder to futz with those numbers, especially because you can't restructure a contract twice within the same year, so they can't even go back to this until midway through next year's training camp.
Correct.
So, no, I think it says year to year, which again, disappoints me, blows me away, etc. Were you surprised to hear about the actual incentives that he has to hit? Remember, back on Thursday, I said, well, the incentives must be just breathing. Instead, they're actual, real, tiered, statistical-based incentives, which, Maz, I don't even think he's going to hit.
No, I don't think he's going to hit them all either. That yards per attempt one to me is dicey.
He had two of the five last year. He finished fifth. And I can't remember what they are now. But there were a couple he was third, and there was a couple he was fifth. He only has to be top five again this year to hit each one. But again, just think about it. Edelman out the first month and then coming back on a bad knee and not on steroids. And apparently he's, you know, favoring the leg today in practice. How do you feel about the rest of that receiving core? It blows. Let me just answer the question for you. New left tackle. Like, I think Brady's going to be hard-pressed to match his production last year.
He might be. I mean, look, I don't think they're going to be as efficient throwing the football as they've been in the past.
So I don't think he's going to get those five. I don't think he's going to hit the incentives. I think the nerve of the team, the nerve, the chutzpah, the gall of them to put that on Brady to me, I find outrageous, but I get the sense you don't because you're anti-Brady.
Well, I don't. I'm not anti-Brady. I just think that Brady brought this on himself. And
Jim,
again,
you're anti-Brady.
I am not anti-Brady. Yeah, I am not anti-Brady. You know, we get, now you sound like the callers on the baseball reports accusing me of being a Yankee fan for crying out loud.
You're not?
Instead of actually listening to the facts. No, I just don't hate the Yankees the way everyone else does.
Uh-huh.
But let's stick to Brady. Brady brought this on himself. So what, Brady's going to sit here and say, well, you know, I don't know. I might only want to go one more year. So you want us to guarantee everything for a guy who's only going to go one more year? No, if you continue to perform at a high level, like, I just think he backed himself into a corner. If you are going to take the stance of, you know, we'll see what I want to do, then why should the team invest in you? Why should they all of a sudden make life easy for you? If you don't know what you're going to do, Tom, we can't extend ourselves for you. If you think you want to play for three more years, we'll sign you the same kind of deal that Drew Brees got in New Orleans. We'll give you 2 years and $50 million on top of what you already got in a big bonus. We'll spread it out and everybody will be happy. No problem. But if you don't think so, well, then we're not going to do it that way.
Okay, so I think this is totally fair. Brady's actions and comments have worked against him. Except worked against him with who? I mean, I think I didn't hear the whole segment, but I think Zoe mentioned this earlier. Internally, who's making the call, right? We all think it's Robert. You know, Brady is Robert's account. But that tiered bonus structure does not feel like Robert, right? Robert feels like he would just give him the $5 million. I mean, I would. I feel Robert Kraft would. That bonus thing feels like Belichick saying to Robert, you know, you can't give these guys too much security at the end. You got to make them play for it. You got to keep them da-da-da-da-da. Like, so, I mean, this is, you know, apropos of nothing, but it feels like Bill probably got some of what he wanted in that, where there's still a carrot over Brady and he doesn't have total say and total leverage. And it just feels like, you know, Robert, you just can't hand these guys this money, especially guys at the end like this who think they're bigger than they are and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, maybe this is Robert coming back now the other way to try to balance the scales because he cut Bill's legs off in the Garoppolo deal and he empowered Tom. So now here we are and it's contract time. And if he does it again, Bill's going to be really pissed. So he goes to Bill and says, listen, how do you think we should do this? Well, you got to make him work for it. You know, that's what Bill's answer would be. If he's going to be here and we're not going to have a young guy barking up his back, you know, and climbing all over him to force him to play well, we got to get him to play well another way, just like we did with Gronk. And so we keep him on the field and, you know, we make sure he stays on the field and we make sure he knows that he's going to perform at a high level to get his money.
I find that part interesting.
It is. It's a good point because it doesn't sound like Kraft. But I do think, I've told you this, my personal feeling is that after they traded Garoppolo And then Brady started doing what he was doing in TB, you know, in Tom versus Time. And I keep saying TB12, Tom versus Time. And all of a sudden we'll see, you know, you got to ask yourself why you're doing this and everything else that I think Robert.
And not showing up, most importantly.
Right. So I think Robert eventually looked at it and said, you got to be kidding me.
I think he listened to Bill on it. I think I don't think Robert reaches that on his own. I think that's, well, I mean, who knows? Who the hell knows? But someone says to Robert, look, that's not the kind of, you don't. Someone who's not fully committed does not get fully guaranteed money. That's just not the way we do it. And so, like, that part's interesting. How about Brady's bad back?
So I'm not overly alarmed by it. I mean, I didn't expect him to play in this game. And look, it's easier for me to say now. You know, when I first heard the news that Brady had a back issue, I didn't think it was a big deal. I thought it was kind of, you know, maybe there's a little something going on there. Since it has come out, he's practiced and practiced well. So
the last 2 days, apparently.
Yeah. But I felt at the time it was just bull crap. You know, that it's not really the primary reason. I still think the number one reason that Belichick is operating at the pace he is, and he's acknowledges now, I think, because of the, you know, the Super Bowls, the three Super Bowls trips in the last 4 years.
Well, but you've also said that he's quick to acknowledge that because he doesn't want to make it look like he's giving in to Brady and Gronkowski.
Well, so that's true. I think that's also an element. Yes, that he wants to make sure that people understand why he's doing what he's doing. So I don't think he'd be typically as forthcoming with the information either. But, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting that got out, isn't it?
The back.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's the most interesting part of the story.
Like, is this another, you know, is this another little tweak at Guerrero? Mr. Pliability? Oh, his back's a little stiff. What happened? You bend him over backwards?
Whoa.
Is that what happened? You twist him sideways?
Easy. Or also just I guess, you know, again, the best way to get ready for training camp isn't rolling around in the sand in Costa Rica, huh? Interesting, Tom. Like, that is not an injury that the TB12 method wants to be associated with.
Bad
right?
back?
Right? I mean, is there a more glaring old man injury than a bad back?
Nope.
Right? That speaks to, again, pliability, flexibility, etc., etc.
Well, he's probably tipping his head back while he's tossing M&Ms into the air, trying to catch them into his mouth. That'd be my guess, and maybe he twisted his back doing that in Costa Rica. Popping s'mores by the campfire.
But apparently the last 2 days of practice, he's been full go and sort of like a little fire in his belly, and maybe, Brady's a little, I have a bad back now, Bill? I mean, who knows, right? Who the hell knows what's going on with that team in the last year or so?
I mean, it is interesting that came out, though. Like, bad back.
I love it.
It is. It is the consummate old man injury. Like, all of a sudden, someone's going to stiff back.
Well, to me, Bill's just as complicit. I mean, maybe if he, you know, had these guys work and didn't keep bagging practices like they did on Saturday. Oh, no, it's another day off. We'll see you on Sunday. You'll be fine. We'll see you guys when we see you. No. Days off.
Well, they're finally back to work, and it looks like they're actually practicing somewhat hard. So that's where we start. You can start wherever you want on a reentry Monday. We know Tiger was prowling yesterday, Red Sox stuff over the weekend, whatever you want. To your calls right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5. Sports Hub.
It is not much of a restructure. And again, the devil's in the details. I'm with you. It's very strange that they only gave him the $5 million incentive package. I think we're all expecting a much sweeter contract for Brady to bring him up to the elite level. He's still only at Blake Bortles level. But the thing that gets me is the fact that they converted some of his base salary into signing bonus. $10 million up front. He's still going to make the same amount of money this year, but they gave him that lump sum up front and they spread it out over 2 years for salary cap purposes. $5 million this year, $5 million next year. And if you're the Patriots, why would you push money back another year unless you're confident that Tom Brady is going to play through 2019? So that's where I say I think this actually locks Tom Brady in for two more years.
Right, Right, I still don't. I had a dump on Volan on NBC Sports Boston last night. I just think an extra $5 million in dead money is no guarantee. If you want to guarantee Tom Brady's playing multiple years, then why don't you just give him a multi-year restructure as opposed to a one-year restructure that you can't even revisit until camp is 2 weeks underway next year? That doesn't feel like that's a firm commitment for the future.
Because it's not.
Feels very much like a year-to-year situation.
I mean, I think that's where they are. And look, on some level, I also think that's Belichick. Like, okay, fine. You know, I don't care. Tom, without someone else here, you're 41, pal. You're 41. So you know what? Ask me again in a year. And at this stage, that's what we're doing. We're going year to year with you. Like, honestly, I don't blame them. But I have felt this way about Brady now for a couple of years. Like, once you get to age, 38, 39, you're going to give a guy a five-year contract or something? That's crazy.
No, I'd give him a three, though. And my feeling is, if you were going to trade Garoppolo, then go all in with Brady and make sure he goes all in with you. You do everything you can to make sure that he's all in and you're all in, and that's it. And neither's happened. I didn't get 10 years of Garoppolo or 3 years of Brady is what it's looking like, which is not how I thought it was going to turn out. Your thoughts, Tony and Holbrook, lead us off today. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great show. I just say that with Brady, the best thing for the Patriots would be to go on a year by year and really just concentrate on Danny Etling.
Have you seen him play yet, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, I saw...
He threw one pass.
I saw him play the other day, but...
One pass.
I mean, we got to realize that Brady, I appreciate his championships that he brought.
Hey, Tony. Tony, thank you for the call. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off because I think Jim...
Like, this is a joke, right? Like, come on. The kid threw one pass. He's a project quarterback who probably won't even make the team. We got to focus on Danny Etling. Just refer to him as Eddie or whatever the hell names you make up for the kid.
Eddie.
Benny.
Yeah.
One pass. Oh, no, he's the future now. Yeah, I wish they had something better than stupid Brian Hoyer behind Brady. If Brady goes down, they're cooked. They're done. It doesn't matter who's there. If they had Garoppolo, they would obviously have a better chance or a young quarterback that they could build a future with, but they don't. Danny Etling.
So technically, Etling was 2 for 5. Just wanted to get that on the record. I particularly like the one along the right sideline that might as well have landed in the stands. I thought that ball had a lot of touch on it.
We're going to go over the backup quarterback situations across the league and where Brian Hoyer ranks. I think you might be surprised where he ranks, folks. I think you have a good backup quarterback. I said it before, I'll say it again. If Tom Brady retires today and Brian Hoyer is your quarterback, you go 10-6 and win the division. But that's just me. Chris and Rainham, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. I want to wish you guys a happy 9-year anniversary. It's very ironic because you guys are talking about the same thing 9 years ago today at this time.
Really,
the exact same thing you guys have been saying for 9 years. Excellent. I remember Maz laughing and saying, what do you think Brady's going to play till he's 37, 38?
Awesome.
So I want to congratulate you guys on that. I also want to know, are you guys thankful for the Patriots? Because they've put you guys in a great spot where you guys are right now these last 9 years. And my last point is, I wanted to just rank the 3 top worst takes, Patriots-related takes by Felger. I want to see where you guys stand on it. Revis? The Broncos and Jets overtaking the Patriots, or Brady in decline 9 years ago? And I'll hang up and let me hear what you guys think about that.
What was the Revis take?
That they probably should have brought him back that second time.
That they should have brought him back, and that they won the Super Bowl the next year.
Oh, I understand. I think everyone felt that way. The Revis one.
I mean, at the time, all 3 of those takes were pretty viable. The 09 season sucked. In 2010, it looks like the Jets were going to overtake the Patriots.
You lost to them at home in the playoffs. I mean, I'm sorry.
Denver had this team's number in a couple of AFC championship games. And what's that last one? Revis? Most people wanted Revis back.
No, see, you're not allowed to be wrong.
Brady at the Klein Show.
It's not allowed. You're not allowed to be wrong. You're going to be right on everything or you're an a-hole.
And Brady was kind of slipping there for a little bit.
Oh, he definitely was.
Tony in Rhode Island. Hi, Tony. Tony in Rhode Island. You're up next with Felger Mazz.
I like Griffin better.
Okay, baby. Again, Reentry Monday, everything on the table. Cam and Taunton on the golf. Hi, Cam.
How's it going, guys? Mike, first of all, you said why did he take it? Maybe the team didn't think he was going to, and Brady took it to screw him. You think about that?
I don't know how that screws him.
Now they can't restructure the deal until this time next year when they usually do it in the winter.
I don't know if that screws the team. I don't know if it does. I think Brady took it, Cam, because he usually takes it.
Okay, anyway, on the golf yesterday, I'm with Mazz when it comes to the majors. I think the Masters and the British are on a tier of their own, and the U.S. and the PGA usually suck. But yesterday was just tremendous drama. And if you didn't get into that as a sports fan, like I told you guys this when the Cubs won the World Series, and what's the next great sports story in America? And I told you there were 2, the U.S. soccer team winning the World Cup and Tiger Woods making a comeback. And Tiger Woods is making a comeback. Is he what he was 15 years ago? No, he never will be. But he's once again a very good golfer. If you didn't get into that yesterday, you don't have a pulse. It's an amazing story, and I hope he finally wins one sometime.
Your thoughts on the golf, man?
I mean, I loved it. I was riveted. It was the only reason I was watching was Tiger. That was it. You think I care if Franz Kafka wins the freaking PGA Championship?
Brooks.
I couldn't give a rat's ass. To me, it was all 100% about Tiger. And once he got going, he should have birdied the first three holes yesterday. He messed up the first one and then made the next two. Then he left the one later on the lip. Like, he could have shot a 62 yesterday. Really, despite the fact that he was spraying the ball all over the place. And again, part of that added to it. Like, the fact that he was so erratic on the front, off the tee, and he was still able to pull out birdies and pars and, you know, and get himself into contention. To me, it was awesome. I thought it was great. And again, Murray, you can hate him.
I do.
You can hate him.
I'm sad I had to move all day yesterday. I would have been on Twitter rooting against him and enjoying it and rolling in it like a pig in poop because so many people want to see Tiger win this next one. Oh, he's back, everyone. No, he's not. He finished in second. He's not back.
Okay, but you know what? He makes it so much more interesting.
Oh, yeah, no. Rooting against him? That's must-see TV.
Brooks Koepka.
Koepka.
Whatever. Please, like I ever want to see, tell me that guy doesn't look like he should just have a surfboard somewhere and be hanging out on a beach. Like, that guy feels like a complete lunkhead to me. I'm sorry. And I know he's won three majors. How am I supposed to get excited about Brooks freaking Koepka?
Koepka.
Whatever. Like, seriously, give me Tiger. I'd rather watch Tiger lose than see that meathead win.
We'll have more on this coming up, but I find Tiger, my headline is I just find Tiger far more compelling now than I did when he was dominating. When he was dominating, I had no use for him. None. Bored me. Unlike the rest of you, I don't know. It just didn't do anything for me. You know, like the Patriots playing the Bills and winning 38-10. Like, that doesn't, there's no competition. There's no pushback. The field had laid down, you know, in front of him. Maybe there was a PED element that, you know, made him that much better than everybody else. Like, I just had no use for it. Now that he is in his 40s, right?
Oh, yeah, I think he's like 41.
Okay, so now he's in his 40s. He's gotten divorced. He's had all these life changes. He crashed into the fire hydrant. He's gone into rehab. He's hit bottom, come back, like that to me. And he's going against golfers that are as good, if not better than him. Now I'm interested. Now you win one like this, you earn my respect. Previously, you know, it just didn't do anything for me before.
Oh my gosh, that run yesterday, again, that was like, you know, and you heard this during the broadcast, it was Palmer-esque. He was all over the place, and he was still pulling shots out of his butt. Like, I just thought that I was just waiting for numbnuts to screw up, and he didn't. And look, Koepka played a good tournament.
Koepka.
Whatever. But Tiger was the story. That was the only reason anybody watched.
Reentry Monday, quick Red Sox thought. Seth and Taunton, quickly, Seth.
Hey, guys. So real quick, I was just looking at the schedule for the Sox for the rest of the year. And if you have any doubts about the Sox, it's working out nicely to either change your mind or cement your position. Because they have 21 of their last 40 games against the Braves, Yankees, Astros, and Indians. So if you want to see them play some good competition for the rest of the year, you got it. I mean, I don't need to be convinced, but I think if you do need to be convinced that they do well for the rest of the year, I think they have a good shot in October.
So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, except I just wonder what the standings are going to look like by the time we get late in the year. And are the Yankees going to be locked into the first wild card? And Houston's going to be locked into the 2 seed? And all these teams are going to be locked into where they're locked into, and the games aren't really what we thought they were going to be. You know what? Like, everyone's just sort of playing out the string. And in that case, are we really going to know?
It's over.
Like, I think the whole thing's sort of over. I mean, I think the standings are what they are, and we'll see, you know, after those wild card games.
I mean, it's over. Again, the Yankees got on a little run there in the middle of the week. They didn't pick up any ground. They're still 8 out in the loss column. They're cooked. It's over. The Red Sox aren't going to slip up. They're too good. And so now again, October, we'll see how the whole thing shakes out. But they take care of business. They win the games they're supposed to win. Again, they went into Baltimore. They lose a game they shouldn't have lost. They bounce back. They win the rest. They win out on the series. And they are exactly where they're supposed to be. And they're 50 games over 500 now. They're on pace for 115 wins. They're not going to slip up. Does that mean they're going to win October? I'm not betting on that yet. But I like where they are, and I'm done gauging them in the regular season. They're too good.
More your thoughts on a reentry Monday. Maz was off Friday, so he has to weigh in on what he saw on the field Thursday night. We'll do that after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thank Good throw by McCoy, a broken tackle in the secondary, and a cut by Sims, spilling inside the five.
Great throw by McCoy. Phenomenal throw. That's how you separate as a receiver, folks. You get behind the first level of coverage, quarterback drops it in that outside zone. Not much pressure whatsoever. And you're basically on the back shoulder. Then you get poor tackling right here. You break down. You got to break down. And that's basically almost how Minnesota won that game in a freakish fashion against the Saints. Not break it down and make it a tackle.
I think we're seeing a little bit of the missed tackles here. They haven't been doing a lot of live tackling, so we're seeing that right now.
Yeah, Club Med did catch up to the starters anyway. The scrubs played well, much to my dismay. But let's get to some game thoughts. Mass was off on Friday. Anything to read into how the defense played in that game?
Well, so look, I thought Gilmore had a bad game. I don't know if you guys touched on that on Friday, but I'm not overly worried about Gilmore. He's playing 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. So the linebackers, though, I'm worried about. I mean, Van Noy got absolutely toasted on that first touchdown. You know, he was left with dirt in his face, for crying out loud. They got kicked up as that guy was scampering in the end zone. So I thought, you know, he got dusted. I also thought the interior of the defensive line got pushed around a little bit. You know, it felt to me like the Redskins were able to run the ball early on. And I think in the early part of that game, it was Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton in there. So, like, that didn't make me feel good. Now, again, you know, week one of the preseason, am I sounding alarm bells? No. But I do think that those were problem areas last year.
The thing about linebackers who can run, we don't need to see the game on Thursday to say that that's a problem.
Exactly. And this is why I also cite the interior of the defensive line, because I thought they had problems there, too. Like those two areas, right? The linebackers in pass coverage and the interior of the defensive line were a problem last year.
So the interior of the D-line, I feel, is less, you know, I feel like they just had problems getting heat on the quarterback. Like, a little soft up the middle against the run, like, I don't even really care. But, I mean, fair enough. To me, athletic linebackers that can cover is a huge issue on this team, which is why this kid out of nowhere, what's his name, Bentley?
Jaquan Bentley, I think it is.
Jawan Bentley.
Yeah. Jawan.
51 there on your scorecard. He sort of comes out of nowhere, has a good night, and apparently the last couple of days of practice he's been working with the ones, because they have no one who can run at that position.
Yeah, exactly right. Just give me an athletic guy who can move and I'll take my chances. I don't know if that kid can play or not, but I saw enough of him to say, let's take a look.
Well, you know, there's good news, bad news there. The good news is maybe they hit on a little something. Maybe the Bentley kid can play. The bad news is, anyone shows any sort of anything there, you're going to get your opportunity because they don't have anything.
Correct.
So, you know, again, my line has been that Kyle Van Noy gave true meaning to the term trail technique on that play. Like, that was pathetic. Pathetic.
Oh, yeah, no. He practically had his lips wrapped around the tailpipe, for crying out loud. I mean, seriously, talk about going face down and eating exhaust. That's what that was. He got absolutely smoked on that play.
Okay, what else? Offensively, a lot of people talked about the running backs. How do you feel about him?
So to me, what that game told you and is that, do they really need to waste a first-round pick on Sony Michel? I mean, just with the bodies that are rotating in and out of there.
Don't preach to the choir now.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, when you really look at it, and remember that James White didn't do a whole hell of a lot in that game. Burkhead didn't even play. Like, so there were guys that are going to make contributions that you didn't even see on the field. Between Jeremy Hill, Webb, you know, Burkhead, what, they got plenty of bodies there. Why did they have to use a first-round pick on a guy?
Like I said, don't look at me. Look at Mr. Running Back over there, future of the league.
So now, look, I know Webb got in there late, and it was against nobodies, and I'm not telling you he's some Hall of Famer. I don't know. Maybe the kid can play. Maybe he can't. But I think there's a million guys like him. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, like, you know, again, they found all these guys out of nowhere. Hell, they found Deion Lewis out of nowhere. Right? Like, did they really have to waste a first-round pick on that?
Well, I mean, based on the talent that Michel showed at UGA, especially in the college playoffs this past year, like, he looks like he could certainly help the passing game. I understand why they did it. A lot of running backs are going in the first round now. I know the rest of you hate it. I can understand it. The knee thing is a problem, though. Like, that was an issue when he was in college. That's probably why he dropped down to where they got him at 31. But that's, you know, now that he's dealing with this again, now you can say, okay, this looks like a regrettable pick.
So Jeremy Hill looks good, but he's loose with the ball, and today he's grabbing his hamstring. And let's just remember, he's a Bengal. So, I mean, like, I don't care because they'll just Sonny Webb, Sony, whatever, Harold Fenefesi, they'll find a guy. Like, it's just the running back's always going to be there.
I mean, Jonas Gray, remember that one? He flashed in the preseason. He ran for 200 yards at Indy.
And then he got in the cover of Sports Illustrated to piss Bill off, and they shipped his ass out of there. Did you even miss him? Did you even know he was there? It's the running back. So, like, I know you think Gillislee is gone at $1.9 million. You know, I mean, this is another reason. This is a takeaway I sort of had over the weekend. As, you know, I was assessing Ben Volen's take about the dead money and the cap issue and having to guarantee some of the money this year to push cap savings into next year. It's like, if they need cap savings, I can help them out pretty easily. Can I ask you this? Why is Dwayne Allen still here at $5 million?
Good question.
You cut Dwayne Allen, you get all that five. There's no dead money there. It's $5 million. What does Dwayne Allen do again?
Nothing.
Why is he here at $5 million?
He drops passes. That's what he does.
Well, why is he here at $5 million? Why is he still here? Aren't you stunned he's still here?
Yes.
At $5 million?
I mean, maybe Bill's trying to salvage something from that offseason because it feels like that one blew up on him. That was Coney Yealy, Brandon Cooks. Like, so Dwayne Allen's the one guy who survives it?
$5 million to block? I don't get it. Cordell Patterson, you know, I had a couple nice grabs, but I still don't think he runs routes. And he's going to be purely a kick returner, I think. 3.25, clear that right out the books. Jason McCourty, I guess, has gotten on the field the last couple of days.
Right, he's now playing opposite Gilmore.
Okay, so fine. But up until that point, I'm like, Jason McCourty's 2.375. Like, that's an easy $2.5 million.
Sure.
I mean, unless he's in your plans and he's good and he can play and blah, blah, blah. I just, up until I think yesterday, he hadn't really been out there. Mike Gillislee's 1.9.
Yeah, Gillislee to me, after watching that game, I've come to the conclusion that I think that he's like has zero chance to make this team. Unless there's an injury. Like, then it's different. But he still doesn't look right. When he was with Buffalo, he looked explosive. You know, I'm not talking like, you know, most explosive back in the league, but he was quicker, faster, more powerful, all of that. Now, he looks so ordinary, it isn't even funny.
How do you feel about the receiving core?
Oh, yeah. Who?
Kenny Britt, 1.4, Decker, 1, Dorsett, 1. You could cut all those guys tomorrow, and I don't think it makes one lick of difference.
So, Bedard was in here, what, a week and a half ago, talking about Philip Dorsett? I would love to see in Philip Dorsett what some of these other guys like Bedard see.
How'd you like his effort over the middle on that first ball in the first half? Where Hoyer put it right on him. It was a third and long. And he's over the middle, puts it right on him, and he alligator arms it, completely shies up over the middle.
Yeah, to me, he's another guy that you just got to chuck it down the sideline and hope he runs under it. Because anything else, forget it. So, I don't remember the specific.
That's okay. It's okay. I mean, he sucks. That's really the bottom line. More game thoughts. How do you feel about your backup quarterback, Mass?
Hoyer?
Thank you.
Hoyer sucks.
Garbage.
I have heard you. And I'm with Murray
he's
on this.
He's a good
one.
Backup.
Garbage.
He's an okay backup.
Garbage.
The more I look at it, top five in the league.
And the more I look at it, the more I know I'm convinced I'm right that he is trash.
Wait till you see. Murray gave me a list. Of backups he'd take before Hoyer.
I'm right.
Wait till you hear some of these names. And you tell me where Hoyer ranks and who you'd rather have.
It's a bad sign when the best quarterback on the field in a preseason game is Colt McCoy.
Oh, my God. He ripped it.
That's a bad sign. Between Hoyer and Eddie Etling, they were chucking the balls at the cheerleaders for crying out loud.
Benny. Here, a long commercial-free segment. We get to Hoyer. Where does he rank right after this?
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
But Janta?
Janta.
Janta.
Junta.
Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hoyer, out of the gun, with Dorsett to his right. Guy's had a good summer. And he's looking that way for a long ball. Dorsett can make the play with the throw that sails into the Redskins sideline.
Yeah, it's a tough one right there for Brian because Dorsett's going up the boundary. And when you're going up the boundary and you don't leave yourself any room on the outside, there's no spacing for the quarterback to fade you to the out of bounds. So that's just a tough catch for Dorsett to make. And even if the ball was thrown even a little bit better, I don't think he would have been in.
So that's a throw you get on Hoyer for, right, Jim?
Any of them. All of them. He stinks, Mike. Go ahead. Make your case for this bum.
I mean, that one on... The one on the sideline to Dorsett was a bad ball. It wasn't as bad as Etling's, but that's not saying anything.
He was covered. What is he supposed to do?
It doesn't matter. It was a crap throw.
Brian Hoyer is a fine backup quarterback.
Oh, he helped lead the Texans to the playoffs,
which is a fallacy, too. If you look into that season, he got that job by default because he was less worse than Ryan Mallett and Brandon Whedon.
Can I give you can I give the people your list of the best backup quarterbacks in the league?
Please, yes. The most accurate of all the lists.
Guys that you would rank ahead.
I'll make a case for all of them, too. Go ahead.
Guys that you would rank ahead of Brian Hoyer, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Okay. Let me just make sure I have the right list because we got a couple different lists going on here. I think you start. Is it with is Teddy Bridgewater with the Jets number one?
No,
oh,
number,
no. Okay,
number,
I'm sorry. I have it. Yeah. Number one, Eagles, Nick Foles.
Yeah, just beat you in the Super Bowl, reigning Super Bowl MVP. Carved you up
categorically. Number one, the Eagles have the best quarterback situation in the league.
Absolutely right.
Done. Give you that one. Okay. The Jets, Teddy Bridgewater or Tim McCown?
Josh McCown, yes.
Right, exactly. Teddy Bridgewater or Josh McCown or Sam Darnold. Would you rather have one of those guys or Brian Hoyer?
Oh, one of those guys.
I'll give it to you. Okay.
But go ahead.
Go.
What, Mass? Go.
Because my opinion of this whole thing is a little bit different than you. I like the idea of having a backup quarterback that has some promise. So, you know, if you're saying if Brady gets hurt, is Hoyer more capable of winning a game than Sam Darnold is right now? Fine.
Yes, but that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about... There's a whole nother conversation that I'd like to have in a little bit about who's set up at quarterback and who's not.
Okay, I'm going to sit out till that one.
Okay, the Patriots are categorically not set up at quarterback. Like, when you look at quarterback situations, they're near the bottom of the league, okay? But this is different. This is, if your starter gets hurt, what can you expect this year?
Okay.
Okay?
Yep, I'm in.
So, fine. I'll give you Foles. I'll give you Teddy Bridgewater or McCown or those guys, okay? Your number three guy is Fitzpatrick. With the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's been an established starter in this league. Then with the Buffalo Bills, has carved you up in the past. Ryan Fitzpatrick can sometimes put up close to 400 yards and a couple of touchdowns with a couple of picks. But, yep, he's better than Brian Hoyer.
I'd take Fitzpatrick, too, with Belichick as his coach.
Okay. I'll even give you that one. Fine. Because I'm fair. I'm nothing if not fair.
Uh-huh.
Then at four, you have the Cardinals, Sam Bradford.
Yep.
Who's starting?
Well, it seems like the rookie. What's his name?
It seems like
kid out of UCLA.
It seems like Bradford's starting.
Oh.
I feel like Bradford's starting. From what I'm reading out of Arizona is that the kid, again, it's not Rosen, is it?
Yeah, Rosen.
Allen's in Buffalo, right?
Rosen's got a long way to go. I don't know. That's just what I read. Maybe I read something wrong, but I think Rosen's going to be the backup.
All right, either way, I'd still have a young quarterback or a rookie with upside rather than a 9-year vet.
No, but we're not talking about what you want on your depth chart for your organization going forward. We're talking about chances to win this year.
Yeah, well, no, I stick with that.
Yep. You'll take Rosen over Hoyer?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Nope, right.
Not even close. Then you have the Browns, Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Mobility, only 29 years old, been an established starter as well.
Again, assuming Sam, Mayfield is going to be the starter.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
I'll take either one of those guys over Hoyer.
Fine, I'll give you that one too.
Or Nathan Peterman.
I'll give you that one too. Number six, you have the Minnesota Vikings, Trevor Siemian, backing up Kirk Cousins.
Yes. Yep. That's more than a serviceable starter at times. I like him better than Brian Hoyer, younger than Brian Hoyer.
I don't care about upside. This is not what we're doing, young man. Yeah, upside.
Well, I'm giving you attributes about the quarterbacks and why I made my decision.
I'm talking about chances to win this year.
Yeah, Siemian, fine, just that simple. Siemian over this bum Hoyer.
We just said, we're not talking about what's, you know, ceiling or the guy's next five years. We're talking about chances to win this year.
All right, so I'm giving
Who would you rather have, Trevor Siemian or Brian Hoyer?
Trevor Siemian.
That one's close. I call that a tie.
That's a tie. That's a tie. I'm not giving it to you.
Tie goes to the runner.
I'm not
right.
giving it to you.
Trevor Siemian is
wrong.
Right at six.
I'm not.
A tie, really?
I'm not giving it to you. I'd rather have Brian
We're
Hoyer.
Asking for opinions and we get two ties?
I'm not giving it to you. Shut up, Jimmy. Number seven.
Tie.
You have Lamar Jackson or Robert Griffin ahead of Brian Hoyer. Lamar Jackson.
Yep. I'll keep out the age. Mobility,
Lamar Jackson, because he projects it. I'm not talking about that. Chances to win this year.
I'll give you the mobility factor. How about I'll leave the age out because, God forbid, I actually talk about facts on this show and give you a strong opinion.
It's not what we're talking about. The age doesn't matter. Yeah. Your chances to win this year.
Yeah,
lunkhead.
With those two over Brian Hoyer.
Lamar Jackson over Brian Hoyer.
Yes.
Nope.
I got to lean Hoyer on that one.
Thank you.
Lamar Jackson.
A little early for LJ.
Number eight. you have Jacoby Brissett over Brian Hoyer.
You know what? I'd take Jacoby Brissett over Hoyer.
I would. When he played here, they had to run a high school offense.
Okay, that was 2 years ago.
And what did you say when he went to the Colts? Oh, how about that? He actually throws a pretty good ball.
I thought he couldn't put one foot in front of the other. Just because he wasn't as horrible as I thought he was going to be doesn't mean that he's better than a guy who has started and won in the league in Brian Hoyer.
I'll go to the podcast and find the tape. Oh, he's a serviceable backup. Throws a pretty good ball.
And right, he is. I'd take him as my backup. I'd take Hoyer first.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree. I'm right on this one. Brissett.
I don't give it to you.
Oh, God, I'd take Brissett over Hoyer. Hoyer's... Go ahead. Go.
Number nine, you have Josh Allen.
Yep.
Not yet. How do you know? Have you seen him throw one pass in anger?
Yeah, I watched some of the preseason game. He looked all right.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, big arm. Uh-huh. He at least has a big arm, unlike this old, washed-up piece of crap Brian Hoyer.
Apparently, Josh Allen doesn't know his ass from his elbow.
Yeah, A.J. McCarron's going to be the starter.
Okay, so either Hoyer or A.J. McCarron. I'd give you A.J. McCarron
I'll take A.J. McCarron over Hoyer.
Right, I'd give you McCarron over Hoyer. I'm not giving you Josh Allen fresh as a baby's tush. No.
See, but it doesn't matter if he knows if Allen is good or not, because he knows Hoyer sucks.
Hoyer doesn't suck.
Yeah, he does.
Number 10, you have Mason Rudolph with the Steelers over Brian Hoyer.
Mm-hmm.
I love Rudolph.
You have no clue what he can do.
Then I'll just say Landry Jones then, because he's been there 6 years as their backup.
You'd rather have Landry Jones than Brian Hoyer? Yep. Have you seen Landry Jones try to throw a football?
Yeah, I have. Against the Patriots a couple years ago. I was there in Pittsburgh against that game. Wasn't all that good in that game, but he's more serviceable than Brian Hoyer.
I wanted the Patriots to take Mason Rudolph.
Not giving you that one.
I love Mason
Rudolph. Not giving it to you.
Love that guy.
Then we get into some really laughable ones. Number 11, you have DeShone Kizer in Green Bay.
Like the mobility factor.
Oh, Jim.
At least he can run away from the rush.
He can't play.
He blows.
Kizer can't play.
Well, I'm taking him over Brian Hoyer.
Not giving it to him.
Him or Brett Hundley.
With the Redskins, Colt McCoy.
Just carved you up and your number one defense, too, on Thursday night.
Because your defense sucks doesn't make the other quarterback any good.
I'm enjoying this.
Brian Hoyer, Colt McCoy, Maz.
Yeah, I got to lean Hoyer there.
Brian Hoyer has a career record of 16-21 playing for the Cardinals, the Browns, the Texans, and the Bears. And then San Francisco last year.
I can break down that Texan season.
He has played for nothing but crap. And he has won 16 of 37 games. Not bad. He's got a career completion percentage of 59.5, which is pretty damn good given the fact he's thrown to absolutely nobody in his career. Brian Hoyer's touchdown to interception ratio in his career is 48-30. How are you 48-30 TD interceptions playing with the worst teams in the league?
Well, let's see. Those inflated numbers he put up in Cleveland were because he was throwing to Josh Gordon before he became a full-fledged booze bag. And with the Texans...
Hold on. Let's just finish your list first.
All right. Okay.
Okay, so DeShone Kizer's a joke. Mm-hmm. Colt McCoy's a joke.
Yeah,
I'm not giving you McCoy over Hoyer.
All right.
Then you have the Falcons, Matt Schaub.
Yep, won a playoff game, two-time Pro Bowler, so I'm right on that one.
Comparable.
Okay, that one's about a tie.
So I'm sorry, Jimmy, that I said they're comparable. You want a hard opinion? Hoyer. But they're basically the same bag of crap. Okay?
Thank you. Except Brian Hoyer's never made a Pro Bowl, and Matt Schaub's made it twice. So
okay,
that goes to Schaub.
And I think Schaub, not because I'm talking about the future, but Schaub is more on the washed-up side than Brian Hoyer.
In terms of age, yeah.
But Schaub, I'm not giving it to you. Then the Dolphins, this is laughable. Guess who he has with the Dolphins, number 14, before Brian Hoyer?
Asswiper.
Brock Osweiler, exactly. Mm-hmm. Jim, now you've just exposed yourself.
Beat the Patriots in Denver a couple of years ago. It was pretty damn good in that game, too. I know he's been awful the last couple of years, but... No, I'm going with Brock Osweiler.
No, you lose me.
No, bigger arm than Brian Hoyer.
Hoyer's better than Osweiler.
Now you've exposed yourself as being unfair, not being able to properly assess the quarterback position. But that's okay, because you're letting your agenda play out.
And I'll dive a little deeper into that Texans year that he went 9-7, or that team went 9-7. He only played.
Then you have number 15, the Niners, C.J. Beathard.
You see him make that big throw on Thursday night,
C.J. Beathard.
Yep. You're in your take bunker.
Now you've exposed yourself as not being able to still. I mean, I get in my take bunker, but at least I'm fair. At least I can, at least the sky is blue and the sun is yellow.
Did you watch some of the highlights of Thursday night's Niners game?
C.J. Beathard.
Yep.
C.J. Beathard over Brian Hoyer.
Yes, that's correct.
So now you're exposing yourself. And then he has 16. Patriots, I suppose, with crappy Brian Hoyer.
Yep.
So you have him...
At least he's not down by 30 or 32.
You have him 16.
I do.
I have Hoyer, after being totally fair, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th. 5th or 6th?
5th's too high. He's in the top 10, though.
5th or 6th?
I'd give him like 10.
I think he's a decent backup quarterback.
I think you're both wrong. Two donkeys here, for crying out loud. One guy's got him too high, one's got him too low.
So I just wanted to look into this. So by default, he got that job at the Texans. Just real quick.
No. Update first, then come back and finish all your right spiel. No commercials here.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.